Welcome to CWH. My dad loved to spread the glorious gospel across the globe and into the hearts of everyone. Dad will share answers in God's word of how do we become a better Christian? How do we live a life honoring to Christ? We will hear those answers in Dad's sermon titled, Life Which Becomes the Gospel.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we're just so glad that you're opening the doors for us, and we just love to come in and worship with you. And all over the world, we're gathering God's people and worshiping around the throne of grace. And today we're going to be talking about how to be a better Christian, faith that becomes the Word of God. And I know we all want to do that, so that's going to be our message. But before the message, I always like to share some of the letters we get, and so that you can pray for these folks, and then you'll know what other people are thinking. Maybe you're thinking the same thing. I don't know. But let me give some of the letters. First one we're reading is from Deer Lodge, Montana. And it says, I am temporarily incarcerated in the Montana State Prison. I watch your program all the time on Sundays. I'm a 62-year-old Mexican mafia member who, after 25 years, converted over to Christianity. I have found the Lord, and I get ridiculed because of it. The Lord has showed me his power, even though I'm in prison. Good things have happened to me here. If the Lord can save me, he's got the power to save anyone, even though I get a lot of flack, and not for nothing in this mortal world will I ever give up for my faith in my Lord. And so when I read this, I thought, St. Paul said that he was the chief of sinners. So this isn't the chief of sinners here. Paul was the chief of sinners, and if he can save the chief, he can save all of us. The glorious gospel of Jesus Christ makes us a new person. Here's Havana, Cuba. I wish I could express in English all my feelings for your spiritual support, but you know that this is not my native language. However, receive these feelings in the language we are both understand and share, the word of our Lord. God bless you, and thanks again for being our spiritual leader. Until next time, your brother in Christ. And this is a dear brother that I've corresponded with several times. And by the way, he has a wife, and she's in poor health. And we've been praying for his wife. And so here he is from Havana, Cuba, yet he's part of the body of Christ, and we're all the same family. And isn't that a wonderful thought? Let's see. Oh, listen to this. Hungry Horse, Montana. And then it's a little short letter. This is what he says. Please pray for me and my relationship with God. And I thought when I read that, here it is, Hungry Horse, Montana, and this man is hungry for the Lord, hungry for God. And you know why he's that way? Because the Holy Spirit's talking to him, and he sees his need to have God in his life. So we've sent literature to this dear brother, and we'll have follow-up literature, and we'll correspond with him and get him started in the Christian life. And then he can be a witness for Christ also. And won't he be a good witness? He's a preacher from Hungry Horse, Montana. Just love that name. Wish I could be there. Wonder if they got a horse in that town. Maybe you can write and tell me. One more, Ulm, Montana. God bless your message. The devil had me tricked that I couldn't be forgiven for all that I had done. Your message of the forgiveness of Christ really touched me. Thank you. And I'm going to tell you, we hear from quite a number of people, and they'll say, well, I've committed terrible sins, and I just don't think God will ever forgive me. And the one sin that is the worst to them is that they sinned against light. That is, they knew it was wrong, and they did it anyway. Now, if they had done it in ignorance, sin in ignorance, maybe they wouldn't have felt so bad. But they did it knowing that it was wrong. You know, I've done the same thing. And I think the same thing. And so the devil comes and says, well, God could forgive you if you did it in ignorance, but in knowledge, he'll never forgive you. Well, you know what the devil is? He's a liar. You think you know a big liar? He's a 10,000 times bigger liar than anybody you know on earth. And he deceives people. And the real message that God has given us, he is not willing that any should perish. He's able to save us unto the uttermost that come unto God by him. That's uttermost of time, and that's uttermost of sin. And he tells us, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You can be saved. And if you want to, and I'll tell you how you can be saved. You just come to Jesus and you say, dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I ask you to come into my heart and wash away my sins and make me pure and right in God's sight. And I'll serve you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's it. And God hears that prayer and you become a new creation and you become a child of God and you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're joint heirs with Christ and then you're now the part of the body of Christ. Oh, there's I don't know how many things happen when we accept Jesus. And then you can write to us and I'll give you the address at the close of the service and we'll send you literature to help you. Well, let's look at this message we got prepared here. And this is a sermon, and it is how to be a better Christian. How the Christian, we have to live for the Lord and serve him. And St. Paul points out some of the things that we have to do if we want to be a better Christian and a stronger Christian. He writes in Philippians chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. And these are the verses we're going to look at today. He says, only let your lifestyle be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one faith, in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident perdition, token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. And so here Paul talks us about some things. First thing he says is, we must be steadfast. Verse 27, that ye stand fast in one spirit. That is, stay with it. Never give up. Never turn back. Never turn away. In my 73 years in the ministry, I've seen a veritable multitude of Christians, and they were so-called Christians. I don't know if they were saved or not, but they started out and they sputtered all over the place and they disappeared. It's comparatively easy to mount up with wings as eagles and to walk and to run without wearying, but to walk and to faint not is another matter, because that means day after day after day after day, we're walking with Jesus. We're serving Jesus. We're loving Jesus. And sometimes it can come wearisome, and sometimes the tough going goes tough. I think of my dear old dad who fought in World War I, and he was in France, a foot soldier in France. And he told of how that sometimes it would rain and there would be mud and they would slush along and plug along and move along. They were at war. They were cold and it was miserable. They might be killed at any minute, but they stayed with it step after step after step. And there they never gave up until they won the war. That's what Paul is saying we need to do for Christ. We need to stay true to the Lord and never get weary. And we might get weary, but never give up. Keep sloshing along, slugging along. Paul says he's talking about being steadfast. He says that in another way in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness. That's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. And then he writes not only to the Ephesians, he writes to the church of Philippi, to the Philippians. And he says in Philippians 4, verse 1, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Someone has rightly said, it's good to begin, but it's better to remain steadfast unto the end. Not that we should succeed numerically or gain popularity or set the world on fire, but we're steadfast and we're faithful because we love the Lord and we're following the Lord and we're serving him, that wonderful, wonderful Savior. We're told in that, and we're told about Daniel in Daniel 1, verse 21. He continued. He continued. That's a very high tribute. It's not the high, if it might be even the highest tribute. He stayed with us. We're not looking for the meteor that blazes across the sky. We're looking for the fixed star that stays there and never gives up until God takes him home or her home. And we've got plenty of those wonderful Christian people in the world today living for the Lord. And I think of those fixed stars as I used to serve in a church. And now I just serve the whole world and the pastor to the whole world. But in that church, I've seen those dear people always plugging along, always steady at their post, always dependable for God. Those are the folks that win the day. And then I've seen some people come on the stage of life and they're all blow and no show. They look as big as life, but they're gone before you know it which way to turn. And they never stay with it. They're like quicksand and you don't dare put your weight on it. Some of them are like porcupines. They got a lot of fine points, but you can't work with them. They're all here, they're thither and yon, and you'll leave you on the lurch every time. So there are the two cases. And so we're just telling, Paul is telling us here in the first point, never desert your post. Having put your hand to the plow, never so much as look back, never so much as turn back. And we see that with Elisha. He's out and plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he has his plowing out of wooden plowing in the fields in Jordan and Palestine. And Elijah comes, the old prophet Elijah, and he's about to depart and to go be with God, and he throws his mantle over Elisha, and Elisha then kills the oxen, and he makes an altar out of the wood, and he has a sacrifice to God. He burns the bridges behind him. He'll never go back. He'll always go on and serve the Lord. So that's what God is telling us. Be steadfast. And then he says we must preserve the spirit of unity. Listen to God instruct us. Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together with the faith of the gospel. Verse 27. And here you see the regiment of soldiers. They stand shoulder to shoulder. They war, having a war against the enemy. And the enemy is strong. He's no paper tiger. He's lean and he's mean and he knows every trick in the book. The enemy is the devil himself and all of his host. And the devil is wily and he's cunning and he's a dirty player. And he's in it for the business of winning. And he wants to destroy the people of God and the kingdom of God. But he'll never get it done. So we have to stand in there. And we have to lean on the Lord and take our strength from the Lord. Stand shoulder to shoulder with Jesus Christ, the wonderful Son of God. And the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we stand with it in rain or in shine. We stand in whether the wind blows or whether there's no wind at all. Summer and winter, springtime and harvest. We are standing for the Lord and never give up and get in for the long haul and stay with it. So it is that we need to be united, and we have, and so when we're united, we preserve our identity. And it doesn't mean that we're all going to like vanilla ice cream. Maybe somebody will like chocolate or something else. We have different ideas and different viewpoints. We have different thoughts and different actions. But when push comes to shove, we put them all together and they make a great band of soldiers for Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If you want to think about it, you could think about an orchestra. And here the orchestra, they're going to play. And you have the drums and they're banging away. Don't they sound beautiful, those drums banging away. And then the violins. They're resonant and they're clear. And then there's the flute and it's mellow and it's gentle. And the cymbals clanging away noisily. And then the conductor gets up, Jesus Christ. And he gets up there and he leads that whole mess, that all of the different ideas and thoughts. And there's beautiful music resonates coming from that group of people. All different backgrounds and feelings and thinking, but they're all united with Jesus Christ because we have one head. We don't have two heads leading the thing. There's one head, Jesus Christ, the head of the church. And so we have to be banded together. And by that same token, we have to be very careful that we love each other and care for each other and overlook the faults of each other. None of us are perfect. I had a man the other day almost laughed in his face. He said he was so happy that he hadn't sinned in 3 days. Hadn't sinned in 3 days. I almost fell over in a pile. A poor thing. He was so proud and he was so far off, he didn't even know what he was talking about. We're all sinners saved by grace. And I'm going to tell you this, we are never perfect until we get to heaven. And in this world, we are never perfect. They'd ask an old pastor when he thought that he wouldn't be tempted anymore. He says, probably 3 days after I'm buried. He is in the flesh. He has the spiritual life and he has the natural, that old life. And they're warring against each other. And so when somebody stripped, one falls or fails, we pray for them and we love them and we stand by and help them along the way. And then we must show courage in the presence of our enemies. Paul puts it this way in verse 28, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but of to you of salvation, and that from God. And here he says, terrified of your enemies and adversaries. And that has the thought of a wild horse, a horse that springs and runs away wildly. I was raised on the farm, and I was in those days when we had horses. And I had a runaway one time. And it happened that there was a big bang. Something happened, and one of the horses jumped, and the other one jumped, and they took off. And you can have a bridle, and you can have a bit in their mouth, but they take the bit in their teeth, and you cannot stop them. They're out of control, and the only thing I could do is jump off of that wagon, and away they went. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't be like those wild horses and so scared that you dash off wildly and you run off and you forsake the work and you go someplace else. You stay with your point and stay with the Lord and never give up. The enemy's going to come upon us. He's going to look awful tough, but I'm going to tell you, he may be big, but he's never bigger than God. And David found that out. He saw that giant there about 12 feet tall. Wouldn't that be something? Twice my size and then some. And there he is, and he's got a big shield, and he's got a big spear, big enough he could kill an elephant. And here's this little stripling boy, David. And when he saw that monster looked invincible. And David met him, though, in God's strength. That's where he had his strength. And before he was done, that giant was dead. So we must, but what we have to do is we always give God the credit. And when we have these victories over Satan, we give God the credit because God says, my power, my glory will I not share with another. And when we start saying what we did and how great we are, God will say to you, he'll set us aside and put somebody else that's humble. But just stay with it and never give up. Too many of us are like the woodpecker. And he's a little old woodpecker and he's out pecking on a tree. And all of a sudden, a bolt of lightning hit the tree and split it right down the middle, clear to the roots. And then a little woodpecker thought, oh, my goodness, look what I did. And the next day, he had 9 other woodpeckers. And he says, see, that's what I did. He thought that his one little peck broke that tree in half, and it was the power of God Almighty. And so it's just stupid when we take things to ourselves and think that we're going to take some glory to ourselves. God will not stand for it. He'll not listen to it. And so we have to just be a courageous lot. And Paul is telling us, you stand true to God, but give God all of the glory. Think of those 3 young men when they defied the king and they were cast into the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were supposed to worship the king and they absolutely refused to do it. They would not do it. And when the king looked into the furnace, there weren't 3, there were 4. There was a pre-incarnate Son of God walking with them. And maybe you're in the fire today and he'll walk with you and he'll help you and strengthen you. Think of Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel is an old man and he knows that if he prays, if they see him praying in the window, they're going to turn him in. And anybody that prays to anybody but the king is going to be cast into the den of lions. And I tell you what they did with the lions. They put him in a den. And that is a big kind of a pit. And they couldn't jump out and they couldn't get out. And then they starved them. And they were so hungry, they're about going crazy. And they would throw somebody in there. And that poor man wouldn't last 5 seconds. And they'd be ripped to pieces. And so Daniel knows that's what they're going to do to him if he prays to God. But he kneels down at his window and he prays 3 times a day. And they tell the king, and the king loves Daniel, but he can't do anything about it. He's made a decree, and he cast Daniel into the lion's den, and he went home, and he stayed, and he wouldn't listen to music or anything else. The king is just sick about it. The next morning, early in the morning, he looks into that lion's den. He thinks he's going to see just a few old bones, a little bit of hide somewhere, and there's Daniel. Probably, I bet he was laying up against the lion. He used the lion for a head, for a pillow. There he was. Just as content as he could be, because that great God Almighty took those lions and he gave them all of them lockjaw, and they couldn't touch him. So when you have come to Goliath, and when you come to the fiery furnace, and when you come to the den of lions, don't you ever forget there's a God that's greater than all of these things put together, and he'll see you through. And so we just never turn back. We always walk with the Lord and serve him. And so we sing the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Will you decide to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. It never even enters our mind that we might do such a thing. We stay with it till God takes us home. We can't all be famous, and we can't all be great singers. We can't all be something of what great and mighty, but we can all be faithful, every one of us. And then the last thing he says, we must accept suffering as a gift from God. Think of that. We're talking to Christians now, not talking to the world. That scares them to death, but to the Christian. And God says, I'm not hiding anything from you. You're going to have to suffer for me. And look at verse 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. And how these Philippians must have thrilled when they realized they were fighting the same battle with Paul. They were soldiers together, and now they're willing to have the privilege of suffering for Christ. And this suffering came then, and it comes now. And we always have it, and we have it with us today. And you know, within the Christian Worship Hour, every week we pray for the persecuted church in some country. And we go right down a list, and we pray every week for the persecuted church. And it is those people now, right now, who are suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Every service we have, we think of those people. Open Door Mission tells us that 215 million Christians are under persecution right now somewhere in the world, and many of them are being persecuted unto death. 215 million. We must be ready to suffer for the Lord. We must be willing to die for the Lord if needs be. And these brothers and sisters, oh my dear Lord, they love him so much that they go to the cross, they go to the death, they're now being beheaded, and they say, Jesus is Lord. In Arabic, sometimes they'll say, with their head bowed, Jesus is Lord, and they're slaughtered and they're killed. We may have to suffer for him. We have our brothers and sisters right now that's doing that. But you cannot do it in your own strength. You cannot do it by yourself. You have to have Jesus Christ. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, the devil's going to have a heyday with you, and you're going to end up in hell. And you say, oh, I do want Jesus. And right now, while you're preaching, there's just something in me that says, I want Jesus. Now, if you want Jesus, this is what you do. You say in your own words and say, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I've sinned against you. And I'm sorry for my sins, dear Jesus. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins, and I'll serve you the best I can. That's repentance. We turn from our old ways to walk with Jesus, and then thank him, and then tell somebody what you did, and you have the Son of God in your heart. And then you know what you do? You write to us, and we'll send you literature. Anywhere in the world, we hear from Brazil, we hear from Norway, hear from the Philippines, hear from Cuba, all over the world, we'll send you this. And you just write to the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or if you want to get us, you can get us on the internet on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And maybe you'll want to send us a gift to help us in the work, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we have to tell you of our need. And that's what James says. You have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people, they won't know. We do need your help day by day. We're not underwritten by any church or denomination or organization, but we are all just God's people sending in their gifts. And we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check every penny we get and every penny we spend, and we're clean as a hound's tooth, and we stand before God and anybody with our finances. So we hope that you'll write to us. I'm going to give that address again for you on the internet and on the short wave. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Christian Worship Hour, 57402, and Aberdeen, 57402. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We're going to be looking for your letter, and we're going to ask you above all things that you pray for the Christian Worship Hour. And now we're going to pray for you. And dear Heavenly Father, we're just praying for everyone that's watching today and worshiping with us. We pray, Lord, for those who don't know you, that have just now prayed and they're born again and they're your child. We pray for the young people and the struggles they have. We pray for the elderly and those on sick beds and those who are shut-ins and can't get around and help them. And maybe they're lonely and maybe they're discouraged, and help them to know that you said you would never leave them or forsake them, Hebrews 13:5. And we pray for the Christians in Kuwait, the persecuted church in Kuwait, that they'll bless them and encourage them and help them to know that they are a blessing to us and an encouragement to us. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we're so glad you could be with you. Thank you for opening the door for us. And we just want to think about the next week. We're going to talk about prayer, praying to God. Do you have to be in church to pray? And who can pray? And oh, it's going to be a wonderful sermon on prayer. So now you pray as best you can, and I'll pray that we'll all hear on this point, and we'll give all the glory to God. And as the gospel goes forth, the Holy Spirit takes the word of God, and it applies to hearts, and he's applying to hearts today. He's comforting many. He's bringing many to Jesus. He's encouraging many. He's having his way. And for that, we praise God. God bless you. God bless you all.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.